I'm glad to be with you today, excited about the program that we have in place for you. I think that you will appreciate the format, the structure, and hopefully that every element, every segue will be one that maybe can be a help. And that's a good part of what we're trying to do as we present our faith, family, and freedom materials today. Wonderful that we have an opportunity to take some of your time, and hopefully it'll be profitable in the sense that we'll be better informed. Maybe we can be encouraged, and it all goes together. Recently at our church, Liberty Baptist Church in Muncie, Indiana, I did a little message, and I want to share a segue of that with you today. We simply titled it, 3 Days of Darkness. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only continually evil. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 10, verse 21. I believe this may be about the 9th plague. And it says, And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Our Heavenly Father, help us to take these scriptures, do with it what you would have, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be preaching today on 3 days of darkness. 3 days of darkness. I don't know about you. I don't want to be negative. I hate negativity. I really do. But I believe that when we think of this darkness, you know, it's amazing that God created us. He created us in his own image. There is no such thing as evolution, that a one-celled amoeba came forth, and that from that one-celled amoeba produced a Homo sapien. There is no such thing in that. Folks have never believed such things as that. I think today, as I see the darkness, and I'll get it divided into two parts. First of all, I want to divide it socially, and I want to divide it spiritually. Socially, I was reading last night where a young boy was arrested in Canada for saying that there are only two genders, and I guess he was treated as a common criminal, handcuffed and told that he would face the consequences of the law. We're living in a very wicked time. When I see the little children here today, my heart breaks for them. I love kids. I love children. I love my teaching days, and I think about where we are in the darkness. Wokeism, cancel culture, all of those things, what we're seeing today is an acceleration. It's an avalanche of an attack upon the very values that you and I have always believed. I've quoted this many times, and I'll quote it again. Pat Buchanan said, in half a lifetime, many Americans have seen their God dethroned, their values assaulted, their country invaded, and themselves demonized as bigots and extremists for holding on to beliefs that Americans have held for generations. Your parents, your grandpa, your grandmother, if they were living today, this would be so repugnant. It would be so foreign to them that they would think they were in another country or another planet or something. Who would have ever believed that we would put a lady on the Supreme Court that says that I can't identify what old woman is? I mean, it's like asking somebody if it's raining and they say, I don't know, I'm not a meteorologist. You see, we're living in a day and time. I wish I had the oratorical skills to articulate it. I wish that I could describe it as graphic as it is. But believe me, there is an attack upon your family. There's an attack upon your children today. I taught for a number of years, and I hate to say it, but it looks like that our public schools have become just schools for the very poor or for those that maybe feel like they're trapped somehow. Who would have believed that we want to denigrate and take down the heroes that we had in our history? People like Lincoln, man that was killed because that he actually didn't believe that slavery ought to be expanded into other territories. Wouldn't it be something today if we thought about it from the standpoint that here we're doing mutilations on little girls, trying to make them into something that they were not? God help us. It seems like that Sodom and Gomorrah look like wonderful places to live as compared to America. I'm glad to be an American, but isn't it amazing that I think the Christian America that we knew may be gone? We're living in a post-Christian era. Now, I'm not jumping on anybody. That's not my style, as you know. But isn't it something today that in many churches across the land and country, we've lost our desire for church? It seems like that the Holy Spirit is not welcome in a lot of churches. I don't know if we do much bragging on him or not. I think we've gotten somehow mechanical in our worship. We come, we do certain things, we know what's going to happen before we get there. There ought to be a desire in every Christian to be in the house of God. Shirlene was talking today, and on the way, she said, I may be preaching to you. I said, honey, I'll have to get an emergency session of the church together to get you ordained. Well, what I'm trying to say is this. We got talking about, and it was wonderful. Brother Bowman, I got to thinking about, and here's what we talked about, Brother Gary. Coming down Cowan Road over here, we got to witnessing to each other, Brother Randy. And I said, I know one thing. I said, I'm going to heaven one day. I said, I'm going, and I said, I don't deserve it, but I said, I'm going by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to go because one day a man that was born to a virgin, God in flesh, Emmanuel, came to this earth, died, was buried, is risen again, so that by faith in him and him alone, we can have it, life, and have it more abundantly. Amen. Well, I hope that part that we did in the first element there, we titled it 3 Days of Darkness. I hope that that might have been somewhat profitable for you. I started to say illuminating, and I thought, well, that might be a pun, so to speak. But anyway, that's part of the focus. You know, we do live socially and spiritually in a time of darkness. The Bible brings to our memory the thought that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Unfortunately, we have gotten to a point in time where the abnormal has become normal, where the abhorrent has become acceptable, and what God calls reprobate, we call it an alternative lifestyle. I never will forget, and I hadn't intended to do this, but I feel I ought to take the time to do it. Dr. Joe Wright, a Christian pastor in the state of Kansas, gave a prayer. And in this prayer, if I can recall it, he said something to the effect, "Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask for your forgiveness. We know that you are holy, and we know that you are righteous." And he further said that we have taxed the poor and called it the lottery. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We've killed our unborn and called it choice. We have made fun of our traditional values and ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. He said, "Forgive us this day and have mercy upon us." And I was told by a lady that was there that state senators walked out and said, "This is not the kind of prayer that we want." Also, I'm going off script a little bit. This is not scripted, but I'm not going according to the format right now. But I remember in Pat Buchanan's book, The Death of the West, he said, "In half a lifetime, many Americans have seen their God dethroned, their values assaulted, their country invaded, and themselves demonized as bigots and extremists for holding on to beliefs that Americans have held for generations." Unfortunately, I think that is true, as well as Pastor Wright's prayer. Again, I don't script this. We don't have it on a character generator, but I just felt that I ought to share that with you today. I think it's materials that from time to time that we need to enunciate again and again. We need to be redundant on some of these things and share it with others. Darkness has overtaken us. Well, I think we can shed some light on what we're doing right now as the young inspirations tell us, "I'm bound for that city."
In the Bible we're told.
In the Bible we're told.
Its walls were of jasper.
Its walls were of jasper and streets of pure gold.
He saw it descending.
He saw it descending
from heaven above.
From heaven above.
It had 12 foundations.
It had 12 foundations all filled with God's love.
I'm bound for that city.
I'm bound for that city.
Blessed be the Lord.
Blessed be the gold. Shall grow old.
I'll meet friends and loved ones.
I'll meet friends and loved ones.
Oh,
won't it be grand? I'm bound for that city.
I'm bound for that city.
In Canaan's fair land.
Oh, thing that defileth.
Oh, thing that defileth.
Or maketh a lie. Or maketh a lie. Blessed be on high.
As clear as a crystal.
As clear as a crystal.
Flows
the river of life.
No death in that home.
No death in that homeland. No sorrow or strife.
I'm bound for that city.
I'm bound for that city.
Blessed be on high.
Blessed be on gold.
To live there forever.
To live there forever. Where none shall go home.
Blessed
city of gold.
To live there forever.
To live there forever. Where none shall go wrong.
I'll be
if you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Fame, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us, as would be indicated there on the screen. I've been privileged since over a year ago to be a guest each week on Real America's Voice with Ed Henry and Karen Turk. It has been a wonderful opportunity for me to share some of our nuggets, our perspectives, our thoughts, our opinions on a large audience there with Real America's Voice. I appreciate their being gracious to me and allowing me openly to talk about our faith and to talk about the values that have made us an exceptional country. I think it's very important, and I commend any station that tries to bring truth and shares it to dispel the evil and to shed light upon the darkness. You know, the darkness cannot comprehend the light. When the light comes on, as it did in the tents of those that lived in Israel at the time of the ninth plague, we can be assured that there's still hope for us today. God's still on his throne. He hasn't lost any ability. He's not wringing his hands, so to speak, as if the situation is out of control. He has no plan B. The days will get darker. We've been told that evil men will wax worse and worse, seducing and being seduced. So we need to be vigilant. We need to be sober. But we also need to look for his glorious appearing. And I'm going to share with you right now one of the little interviews we did recently with Real America's Voice.
Bring in our buddy Andrew Phipps. It's Terrence Snowden. You see him every Monday morning. I hope you had a good weekend. Good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me on. Good to be with you today.
I love it. I want to test a theory with you, because since the last time we spoke, Karen and I were on the ground in East Palestine, Ohio. What's interesting is you see how desperate the situation is for people. Over the weekend, there was more research done. I think it was Texas A&M and others saying that the air and the water is not as clean as the government has suggested, as they sloughed it off.
Shocking.
Biden hasn't been anywhere. And Republican Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri, I think, said over the weekend that if you want, you see this stark contrast. The Republicans and Donald Trump, led by Trump, are the party of the forgotten man and woman in a place like Ohio or Indiana, where you are. And Biden and the Democrats are the party of Ukraine and shoveling more of our money to Zelensky. Your thoughts?
I think Josh Hawley said it correctly. I think, you know, people, Buttigieg, transportation secretary, brought a vest and a hard hat to East, but he didn't bring any qualifications. We see that the pernicious ways of the party, I think most people in Indiana are sick of the establishment. They're sick of these people that like Mitch McConnell and different ones that don't support our conservative candidates and support the moderates or the more liberal candidates. We've had it with that kind of system.
No doubt about it. Talk about that as well in the context of Ronald McDaniel Romney, as we like to say, use her full name, which is that, you know, she's talking about loyalty in 2024. If you want to be on the debate stage with Donald Trump, you've got to pledge you're going to support the nominee, the eventual nominee, even if you lose. Okay, fine. Why won't the RNC support people like Carrie Lake? I'm sure they'd say, oh, we endorsed her. We did it. They weren't out there fighting for her, Andrew. Where was the loyalty in 2022?
Well, look at the race in Alaska. I think the lady up there could have beaten Murkowski had she gotten any help from Mitch McConnell. It's unfortunate that the establishment and Carrie Lake, whom I really admire, I think she has the tenacity, She has the sagacity, the wisdom to be an outstanding leader. But unfortunately, I think our Republicans are going back in time where it said, to the victor belongs the spoils.
Yeah. Let me get that right. Sagacity.
Yeah, so sagacity. That would be that's a great word.
A derivative of sage, wise. Sagacity. I like it.
Right. Well, you know, we have to have wisdom. I think most of the people in the country would like, things like term limits. They'd like to wonder and know why that people can profiteer by being in office. We've had some corrupt administrations, whether it was Warren Harding, Teapot Dome, or whether it was or Grant and the Credit Mobilier scandals. But this is probably the most wicked.
Well, Andrew. Yeah. I don't mean to interrupt, but you're right. The Biden crime family takes the cake. How about that?
Wicked. Wicked
love seeing
a good
you
word.
Every week. Andrew, we'll see you next week. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
Many in the Independent Baptist movement oftentimes refer to the late Vance Havner for commentary and perspectives. Recently, I found one of his quotes, and many times I try to incorporate some of his materials into various programs. And the late Vance Havner said this, "We are fighting the greatest battle of all time with the most untrained army on earth. If strict discipline is necessary in art and athletics, how can we expect to be advanced Christians and stay in kindergarten?" And I think that that is so relevant. It just resonates with me. I think to once again refer to his good material, I think he's saying here, and it can't really be explained further, is that how do we expect to be patriots and to be servants and to be Christian warriors and to be Christ's servants in a world that is increasingly that requires people to know, to have discipline, to be trained, to put on the whole armor of God, as it were, to be ready to stand against the wiles of the devil. And his cogent remark there at the end is, how can we expect to be advanced Christians and stay in kindergarten? My, that's powerful. And when I think about that, I think it's so true that seemingly we have a lot of people that have almost little Bible training. I don't know if they read the Bible very much. And in many churches, the Bible has been relegated to just another thing. If the doctrine of any church is not biblically correct, the details do not matter. But yet we have church after church after church. They use any and every Bible. Some Bibles leave out a big part of the New Testament. Other Bibles put it into language, changing names and things, and it's kind of up to the individual to decide whatever he thinks it means. But I'm glad today that we have the pure, undefiled, inerrant, infallible Word of God. Charles Spurgeon said it like this. He said, "Charge God with error, if you please. Tell him his word is not what it ought to be." Why? God wrote it. And the book that we use, the Holy Scriptures, we believe are divinely inspired, that God not only put his word above his name, but he preserved his word for us so that we can know with great authenticity that the word is true, that it's principles are inviolable, that we cannot violate Scripture and not go to a different level. Friends, I want to thank you for being with us today. If you feel our Faith, Family, and Freedom program is important, tell others about it. If you'd like to help us, monthly or weekly or however, that would be great as well. We don't want to beg, but we do obviously need help from time to time. But until the next opportunity, this is your friend Andrew Phipps saying, may you have a wonderful day and may God bless.